tell you, the longer you live, the more you learn. As Brother David said this morning, he said, you know, preacher, he said, what he taught this morning, it took me a long time to learn. And the older I get, the more I find out, the more heart trouble I have. Some of you that's young, they're looking around, you look, they ain't got a lot of heart trouble. Some of them do. Some of them's lost a mom and daddy, or maybe their Nintendo's been took away from them, or maybe a few things ain't going, you know, maybe their pet rabbit died, but they still got some little old heart trouble. But you know, I notice the older you get, and you go in the doctor's office, the first thing they're going to do, they're not going to look under your fingernails. They're not going to say, take your shoes off, and I want to check the pulse of your feet. He said, bring that blood pressure over here. I want to check the rhythm of your heart. And then they've got this thing they'll put in their ears, and they'll listen, and he'll say, now, breathe in deep. And he'll say, son, your heart's out of rhythm. Or said, I hear a little something going on in your heart. You know, I noticed as a young person, I didn't have much heart trouble. But now the older I've got in the Lord, I find myself to have some heart trouble. Anybody here today ever had any heart trouble? You say, preacher, I ain't got none. Well, you keep a-raising babies, you're going to have some heart trouble. Amen. Some of you preachers ain't pastoring yet. You just hold on. You're going to have some heart trouble. Some of you young'uns not married yet. You hold on. You're going to have some heart trouble. Some of y'all are going to get a hold of something you don't know how to fix. And so Jesus wrote in the Bible, and by the way, I still believe it is the Word of God for our day. The Bible, the King James Bible. I'm glad I got one with me. Did anybody bring one with them this morning? I'm glad I got a Bible in my hand. And so this is what Jesus said. I like what the old black preacher said. He said, now boys, I don't know much about this Bible, but these red words talk louder than them black words. And so I like that. He said, verse number 1 of John 14, let not, I've got an option. That's a hinge there. He says, now you've got an opportunity to let not. But boy, it sure is easy to let it in, isn't it? But now let not your heart be troubled. Ye, not them, ye believe in God. Boy, I believe in God. With all of my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. And then it didn't stop there. He said, you believe in God? Believe also in me. He said, now watch this. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, now look what I'm fixing to do. And he said, I've not even left you yet. But I go to prepare a place for you. We think all of a sudden he just left out of there and went to heaven. No, he didn't. He hadn't been to Calvary yet. But honey, I'm glad he was on his way to Calvary to make a place for. He said then when he got up out of the third day, what's he doing? He's completing our mansions. And boy, when it gets ready, we're going to go there and occupy it. Amen. You say, what is your address? I don't know, but I guarantee you it's around Gloryland Boulevard. Amen. I guarantee you there's a street of gold running by. And he said this. He said, if it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Aren't you glad he's our go-ahead? I wish I could prepare a place for everybody here. I'd do it, but I can't. All I can do is tell you about what he's done. Now he says, I go prepare a place for you, and watch this, I will come again. I'm going to be preaching from there tonight, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And here's Thomas. He said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said these words, I am. Not I'm going to be, not that I want to be, not that I lost my position. He said, I am. Thank God I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, you can underline that, cometh unto the Father but by me. You may be seated this morning. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God today. Thank you, God, for the excitement in your Word. Thank you for the Holy Ghost in my heart. Help us now to be a blessing to your people. I want to mind you, Lord. I want to be a blessing to somebody today. And I'm a needy preacher. Would you help me now? I'm trying to follow you. Lead and guide us and draw us and make something new out of us today. Encourage our spirits. Help these, Lord, that are feeble-minded to pick them up. Help these with heart trouble today to touch them. And I'll be careful to honor you and thank you for it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to preach today on let not your heart be troubled. Let not. I want to say, first of all, notice in verse 1, there is the concept of heart trouble. Be careful to tell somebody, well, I wouldn't worry about that. Because it's a lot easier for you to tell me not to worry about my problems when it's my problem and my situation. Because we know heart trouble is real. But I want to say, when Jesus is writing this text, he's speaking, he said, I don't want you to be bogged down. And he said, your heart will get you bogged down. He said, now, watch out about heart trouble. I want to say in Matthew 6 and verse number 19, you'll notice that our heart develops us. If your heart never develops right, then you will never grow into the stature where you could be. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I want my heart to be right. I want to be right with you. As far as I know, I've probably made everybody in the house mad. But that's part of my job, I reckon. But far as I know, if I've offended you and it's my fault, I'll apologize to you. But as far as I know, anybody in the house today, I don't have it all with nobody. I want my heart cleaned out. I want it cleaned up. I want to have revival in this last time. I want to have revival in these dark days. You say, well, it's a raining out. Honey, this ain't the only Sunday that it's ever rained. Hey, I'm glad today. I want to be careful about my heart because it develops us. Now, take care of your heart because it will develop you. The Bible says we ought to guard our heart. But look what he says in Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust doth corrupt, and where thieves don't break through nor steal. Here it is, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's nothing wrong with treasure, but you better guard your treasure, because it'll take your heart to where your treasure is. We better stay focused on what our treasure really is. Can I tell you, the real treasures in life, money can't buy. You can have all the money in the world. And neighbor, your grandbaby laying there dying. You can't put enough money on the table to bring life back to them. Your companion, your mate, your spouse. You can have all the land in the United States. You can put every title deed there on the table in the operating room. And honey, them treasures will never bring life. And God said you better learn to major on the minor thing. Hey, don't major on things that's going to burn up. He said you better guard your treasures because they'll take your heart over there. We live in a society. I've noticed this in pastoring people. When you go to serving the Lord and you go to enjoying the blessings of God, You'll start paying your tithes. You'll start being faithful at the house of God. And the hand of God begins to fall upon you. When the hand of God comes upon you, He begins to bless us. Then we get out of balance. I can remember when I had everything out of balance. My bass boat was worth more than what I lived in. Amen. And my wife was wearing toe sack dresses, but I had everything I needed to fish with. Come on now, you redneck crowd. Help me preach a while this month. I'm talking about having your priorities right today. You see, a lot of times the devil never shows us what we got, just what we ain't got. And can I tell you, if you got something down in your soul today, name the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got more to be appreciative of than anybody in America. You're blessed today. You say, well, it's Mother's Day and my mother's gone on. Well, listen, there's nothing we can do about that. You say, well, preacher, I've never been raised in church and I don't have a heritage. Well, start you one today and get you one today. And hey, failure's not final. Get up and dust your britches off and go on for the glory of God. I'm glad I pastor a people that's not perfect. I'm not perfect. There's one that was perfect. He hung on a cross and died for your sin and my sin, that we may be perfect in His righteousness and in His blood. And we better watch our heart troubled, because it'll get bogged down with the troubles of this world. I've noticed this. It's two things. One about sin. The more you mess with sin, the more sin messes with you. And then I've noticed more about treasures. The more treasure I get, the more treasures I want. You know, like those saying, the feller said, well, I don't want no more property except that joins me. Amen. So we ought to be satisfied with what we got. Ain't nobody here had to saddle up a mule and a buggy this morning to get the house of God. I don't know if many people looked in a closet and didn't have the luxury to pick out what you'd wear. You ladies have got a pocketbook to match. You got shoes that'll match. We men, we've got everything basically that we need and most everything that we want. But we better guard our treasure, because it'll take us to where our heart ought to not be. I don't need to be on Lake Weedowee on Sunday. I don't need to be on the golf course on Sunday. I need to be at the house of God, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And I praise Him for it. And I love Him for it, of how good He's been to me. And so first of all, we see this thing of heart trouble. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your treasure. Because your treasures will take you where your heart don't need to be. Number two, heart trouble. Not only does our heart develop us, but our heart drives us. Who do you want to be when you grow up? Some of you are 50 years old and you're still whining. You're still sucking on a passy. What do you want to be when you grow up? Jesus said we ought to grow up into Him. He's the measure of our faith. He's the stick of measurement. And hey, let me ask you today, this heart trouble, it develops us, but it drives us. We need to have a drive in our heart. You know why the men of old on the battlefield didn't throw the flag down and quit? Because they had something in them driving them. I'm glad that God put something in my heart years ago that puts drive in me. Amen. Matter of fact, some of you sissy boys, you need to go to eating some gunpowder and gargling gasoline. Amen. I mean, you so henpecked, you won't say amen. You won't get a hold of your family and be daddy. Amen. You say, well, it's Mother's Day. I'll be there in a minute. But right now I'm on Daddy's Day. You ought to be the head of your house. You're the spiritual leader. You ought to not be some kind of little spineless something that just runs around and says, well, are we going to church today? That's no option. You ought to take the role of being a leader and step up and get something in your breeches and something in your heart and something in your shoe leather and be real men for the grace of God. Every lady wants to marry a real man. And she ain't looking for nobody with lace on his cuffs. Amen. I know a lot of you hard-bound women likes to dictate and manipulate and run over you late and over-eight and all that. I know y'all like to run the house, but let me tell you, deep down inside you, you want your man to be a real man, and give me some men that's got some heart in them to serve God, not throw the towel in, to raise their family in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, to treat his wife as God said, love rest the church, get in love with God, get filled with the Holy Ghost, and get happy with you. Would somebody help me preaching Bowden on Sunday morning? You sitting around like, my goodness, I ain't got nothing to rejoice about. Well, you're not in hell, and that ought to give you a jump start on shouting this morning. You ought to thank God that He thought enough of you to save your worthless hide, put you in the family of God, walk around in you in this world, and be a light to those that are lost without Jesus. Heart. He said, boys, you better watch your heart. God don't want us bogged down with heart trouble. Quit looking around at everything. Jesus said it's going to get this way. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Heart trouble. Now, our heart develops us. Our heart drives us. I wish our young men and young girls would get some drive in them. You young boys ought to learn how to say yes, sir, no, sir. You ought to learn how to shake a man's hand and it not be some kind of dead fish somebody's laid in their hand. Some of you walking in trying to get a job, look like a thug with your pants down and your hat sideways, trying to shake a hand like some kind of little old limber back wash rag. You ought to reach your hand out there and say, hey, how you doing? I need a job. If I couldn't outwork these boys working today, I'd just quit and starve to death. I mean, I tell you boys at Liberty Baptist Church how to get a jump start on this generation of workers today. Just buy you a belt. Just get your belt on and you'll have a jump start. You'll have two hands to work with. If you come in my office hunting a job doing this, I say, well, I can't hire you. You can't even keep your britches up. You got both hands trying to keep your britches up. And most boys don't even care if their britches is down or not. Heart trouble. Boy, we've all got heart trouble. Our heart develops us, it drives us, and you know something about our heart? It discourages us. You know, if I can get something in my heart, I just get so encouraged. You know, I've had a new philosophy about pastors. Some of y'all won't believe this, but some of y'all that sat under me a long time, you'll agree with this for today. I'm not going to promise you next Sunday, but today. I'm not going to look about who ain't here. I'm looking at who's here. There was a lady helped me one day, preacher. She's here in the service today. And I went to their house and I was talking to her husband. She said, preacher, could I help you? Could I really just be honest with you and help you? And I said, you know, I felt like Miss Renee is fixing to talk to me when she said that. She said, preacher, you can't help him that ain't there. Just try helping us that's there. I like to see a church full, and we're pretty full this morning. Matter of fact, it amazes me, this many Baptists got together and it raining today. Amen. But you know, your heart can get so discouraged. And the devil, he didn't wake up this morning to encourage nobody's heart. Matter of fact, he's working overtime to discourage you. You know, it does you good a lot of times. Matter of fact, Paul was having a pretty bad day. He was brought up before King Agrippa in the book of Acts, and he said something in Acts chapter number 26 of where I'm going to try to get to this morning, and a great principle that would help us as a Christian. Now, things was going bad around him. But in Acts chapter 26 and verse number 1, Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. He said, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews." I like this. He stretched forth his hand and he said, "Now, I'm going to think myself happy." Happy. Y'all not going to like this. Any of y'all seen Duck Dynasty yet? I'm going to vote for Phil for president. He says, happy, happy, happy.
That's right.
I like that. You know, things a lot of times look so bad. But you know what Paul said? He said, "I'm going to think myself happy." He said, "Things don't come by me to make me happy, so I'm going to get to thinking on some things that make me happy." You know what I think about the people that's got saved. Look around here this morning at what God's done with a handful of people preaching off of a high chair one day. Look here what God's done. When you leave out and look back at this process, you look at what God had hid out in Kudzu. What God had here for you to enjoy, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. When you leave out of here, you look and see how God's been so good to us at this church. When we take up our offering a little bit for our little ones, you watch them walk the aisle. That'll make you get to thinking happy. Look at that and buy the pew with you. No, they're not perfect. You say, "Preacher, you ain't got to live with him." Well, I ain't got to live with you neither. So I'm happier than I was before I started this sermon. I mean, my goodness, if I had to live with some people that some people got to live with, I'd be reading Acts 26 every hour of my life. Thank myself happy. You know, we've all, I know that happiness comes from happenings. Well, then let me ask you something. And I agree totally with that. I know joy comes from Jesus. But I'm talking about happiness right now. If happiness comes from happenings, what can I be happy about? Well, God saved me. God's given me a family. God's given me a Liberty family. And you know, we may not all gather together and cook hamburgers together at night, but we love each other. And it ain't no big uns, ain't no little uns, ain't no clicks over there or clacks over there. Dude, I'm going to break it up. And I expect you to help me break it up. So we're in all this together. Now, why would Jesus say, "Let not"? Yeah, sounds like to me I've got an option. I've got to think on things that bring me happiness. You know, getting old's not fun. I mean, it's not. I've been on a pity party a little bit lately. I asked, me and Brother Tommy got together this week. Brother Tommy's my age. I said, "Brother Tommy, you ever hurt?" He said, "No, preacher. I've got the body of a 20-year-old man. I don't hurt at all." I said, "My God, son, I don't know what I've done wrong, but now I'm a hurting all the time." I wished I could do like that, brother. Dave, wouldn't that be a blessing? No knee replacements. Lord, wouldn't it be a blessing? I mean, no job worries. Wouldn't it be a blessing just, you know, just walk through this thing? Well, let me tell you something. We can. Because we on the winning side. Just because we're Christians don't mean that we're immune to trouble. Jesus put this in our Bible. Let not your heart be troubled. If we come in the house of God and our heart all burdened down, hey, we're not going to help nobody. We're just going to hurt everybody. Let's look on the positive thing and say, thank God it ain't what it used to be. Thank God it's not what it's going to be. And it's pretty good right now. I mean, we're all just going to leave and go eat lunch. I mean, I don't know nobody lining up down yonder in the soup kitchen after church. I don't see nobody out there getting straddled of a mule leaving out. Boy, we blessed. Turn around and tell somebody, say, "I'm blessed." Turn around and tell them, say, "I'm blessed." I mean, I'm blessed. Turn around and tell them, "I'm blessed." I mean, I'm blessed. Wouldn't that be a great attitude if we walked up the doors of the church on Sunday night service at 7 o'clock and said, "Praise God, we having church tonight." "Oh, God, preacher didn't call church off. It's Mother's Day, and we got 9 mamas to go to today." Well, I know that's the real world. Bring them to church with you.
Amen. Sure.
If we call off church for Easter, Mama's Day, Daddy's Day, Egg Hunt Day, Santa Day, for long we ain't got no church to go to no more. And so I done purpose in my heart, me and my wife going to be here if she ain't working 96 hours. And so I'm just going to preach to her and my grandyoungins. Thank God, David. Look at the little part. He got a bottle turned up. Got on a pink pinstripe shirt. He looks good this morning. Got his hair gelled up. Mine would look that way if I had some. We got a lot to be happy about if we'll just look for it. Attitude is everything. Preacher, you don't know what I'm facing. No, I don't. And I can sympathize with some people because I've been in some places. I've not been every place you are, but I know this. When my heart is bogged down, it's got everything I'm doing. Thank God for people that'll help us lighten up our heart. Little old James come running over here this morning. You ought to see Brother Lee's face light up. You say, well, I don't get nothing when I come to church. He got a blessing for church even start. Little old James come down, come running his little old sweater vest. Amen. I like sweater. Some of you boys say you're a sissy if you wear a sweater vest. Well, y'all meet Brother Troy and Brother Felton after service. He come over here and had a little old blue tractor in his hand, showed it to Brother Lee. And Brother Lee just perked up. And that little old boy brought a smile on his face. Boy, it'd be a blessing if some of y'all would just be looking for a blessing instead of where the blessing ain't. And we'd come here and get to looking, God, I'm coming hunting me a blessing. I'm not going in formality. I'm not going into religion. I'm coming to the house of God to get me some help for my heart. I got to have help for my heart because my heart determines what my home is. My poor old wife, I don't see how she's made it 30-something years. I come home whining. I love it when she says, won't you put on your big boy britches and move on? Well, Miss Flo, I just want somebody to whine a little bit with me. I mean, Miss Flo doesn't figure she ain't going to whine neither. She just brings a blanket to cover herself up when the church is too cold. A lot of you be whining about the thermostat. I like a Miss Flo Christian. Praise God. Just bring a blanket. If I need it, I'll pull it on me. I'll fan with a songbook. I'm just glad I'm here and glad to be. Can anybody help me go to church on a Sunday morning? Boy, I'm so tired of religion. Heart trouble. I'm trying to get there. Our heart trouble, our heart develops us, it drives us, it discourages us, and it'll defeat us if you're not careful. Thank God for people that can encourage hearts. I don't need discouragers around me. And let me tell you something, if you live your life around discouragers, you will be discouraged. You're only going to be who you run with. If there's five discouragers in the car, you're not going to encourage five discouragers. You're going to get out of there saying, why in the world did I go to Dairy Queen with that crowd? I want to be a help and a blessing. You know, I go to churches and preach. You know what some of them folks have got? Some of y'all just ought to go see what I see sometime. Y'all kiss them steps out there when you come in. They got welcoming committees. It's what they do. We're glad you come here today. Follow me. Our preacher will get out of the deep freeze in 30 minutes. And he's got 12 minutes to help us. We all ought to be the welcoming committee. There's nobody in here don't have trouble. Don't let it bog you down. Don't get bogged down in your trouble. That's all the devil wants you to do is get bogged in your trouble. There's a way out. And I'm glad it's through the Lord Jesus. You say, preacher, have you made mistakes? Well, I've made my share of them. But I sure am glad there's a God in heaven that can forgive us. And we've got to have a forgiving spirit. We've got to have an encouragement. We need to surround ourselves with encouragers. Try to be an encourager. You say, well, I'm just not outgoing. Well, get that way. I mean, what's so hard about sticking your hand out saying, how y'all doing? I think this is our problem. We get ready for church on Sunday morning. We done knocked the windows out of the car. We done stood in front of the mirror and asked four girls to get out of the way to get ready. We're running late. We get here and we done talked ugly to mom and the babies. And the mama done talked ugly to us and the babies. And we done broke every speed limit, every traffic law between here and there. We done blowed our horn, shook our fist at everybody coming by. And we got bumper stickers, follow me to Liberty Baptist Church. And then we get down there. And I mean, we just been a fussing, fighting the whole way about how we don't want to be doing what we're doing. And we walk in, we say, how y'all doing? How y'all doing? Say, we doing better than y'all are. You see, Jesus spoke about a heart that's troubled. Number two, he spoke about a house that was treasured. He said in John chapter number 14, look what he said about this house that's to be treasured. Now, if your Bible says room, you got the wrong Bible. You see, this is why heaven meant a lot more to the old people, because most of us live in a mansion. A house is treasure in my Father's house. You may have a mansion down here, but it's not in the Father's house. Because he said, look, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, what I've told you, I go to prepare a place for you. It's a factual house. We're not going to heaven and just float around there, but we've got a dwelling place. It's at the Father's house. Can you imagine what it's going to be when we get to the Father's house? What a blessing to have a mansion. Can you know why y'all won't shout when I read that verse? I'm just going to be honest with you, because I'm in the culture too. I live in a mansion. I do. I live in more than my mom and daddy ever had. You know why none of y'all shouted when I said that about the mansion? Because we all think we're living in one now. Me and Brother Mike was down at Butler's Mill one day. And had an old granny there. You know, they used to all wear their aprons, little pockets on them. She had a little hair up in a bun. Old farmer there, he had his old felt hat on, Brother Gerald, big sweat stains around it. There in his overalls. They're sitting there by an old house, had a rock chimney. You know, Brother Mike says something to me. He said, you know, preacher, heaven meant more to them people than it does this generation. So why'd you say all that? I said all that to say this. God's been good to you. Boy, God's sure been good to me. It's no place like home. I don't care where I go. It ain't no place like home. And can you imagine when we get there for the last time? Because this isn't home. Now, I want to say about Jesus wrote three things. He said, heart troubled. There's a house that treasured, in verse 2, my Father's house are many mansions. When I saw what I told you, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, if he spoke this world into existence in 6 days, and it was finished, and he rested on the seventh, and he's been gone a long time, over 2,000 years now, I wonder what this place is looking like. And I wonder this, too. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to give you another thought. I wonder how close he is to finishing your place. Because when your place is complete, you're out of here. And on the other side of that, when your deadline with God is over and you meet that deadline, If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you'll know nothing about this mansion I'm preaching about. Hell will be your home. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know why you would want to tell our children about hell. Well, why wouldn't any God-called preacher want to tell people about hell? That's one of the main focuses God's called us to do, is to preach the gospel. You listen to me, people. There's a real hell. Real hell. And if you don't know Jesus, you're going there. I don't care who you know. I don't care what you've done. If you've never believed in the Lord Jesus and repented of your sins, hell will be your home. A lot of people's confused about heaven. It's not religion. There's a lot of Baptists in hell. Religion don't wash away our sins. Jesus washes away our sins by the blood of Calvary. Thirdly, and I'll be done. Heart trouble. A house that's treasured. But look in verse 3. There's a hope that's tremendous. He said, I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus is coming. And this is what he says. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to where he is. All right, preacher, tell me this then. If you're going to where he is, where are you going? Okay. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, I'm going to where the storms have surrendered. Boy, I'm glad I'm going to a city. Revelation 4, 1, after this, what? After the church age, the raptures happened. I looked, and a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice I heard, it was a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show you things which must be here. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. One sat on the throne. And he sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. You know, when we get to heaven, we see this rainbow. Many of you know this. It's going to remind us that the storms have surrendered. I'm glad I'm going where there's no more stormy nights. No more scared chick. You know, I had a mama. Scared to death of storms. The windows got blowed out of her house when she was a kid. And my mama's done this, bless her soul. She'll get this tape. She's woke me up out of my sleep and said, hon, get under the bed. The storms are coming. And I said, Mama, I was resting good. No, she was scared of storms. Nobody likes storms. But you know, I'm glad that I'm going to a house that's treasured where the storms will be over. No more phone calls that bring storms. No more bad news. Thank God we're going where the storms have surrendered. And then I don't know what some of y'all are going to do about this, but not only my house that's tremendous, the storm that's surrendered, but there's going to be saints that are shouting. Revelation 5... And verse number 8, the Bible says, when he had taken the book, the four beasts, 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps of golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals, and thou wast slain. You redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And here it is, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. The beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory, and blessing. You see, I'm going to a hope that's tremendous where the storms are surrendered, but where the saints are shouting. Listen, don't let a little shouting tear your nerves up. We got something to shout about. They won't be a quiet side and a loud side. You better get used to some noise if you're going to heaven. I've heard people say, well, we're not going to y'all's church. It's too noisy. Well, you'll go to a ball game, people shouting. You'll turn that rock music up and it busting the windows out. Boy, we're going to a city where the saints are shout. Can you imagine hearing some of those saints of God shout again? Brother Lee, your mama used to shout right back there, Brother John's a set. Can you imagine the shouts when we get there? Praising the Lamb. Praising the Lamb. Praising the Lamb. Praising the Lamb. Ain't nobody shouting about Baptists there. They praising the Lamb. Ain't nobody shouting about their money there. Praising the Lamb. Ain't nobody shouting about storms there. They praising the Lamb. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. Are you? I hope it's tremendous. I'm going where storms have surrendered. I'm going where saints are shouting. Revelation 21, verse 1, I'm going where the sea has subsided. I'm glad I'm going where there's no more sea. He said this. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. I'm glad I'm going where the sea subsided. That's where all storms come out off of the sea. Then lastly, I'm glad. Look, if you would, in 21 and 23, I'm going to where the sun is always shining. Look what he said. He said, Revelation 21, verse number 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. We've got a nephew that's grown, and he's scared to death of the dark. You know, aren't you glad we're going to a place where there's no more darkness? And isn't this amazing that he put this verse? It really stuck out to me the other day. Look in 22 in verse number 5. Look what he says. He said, there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Miss Sherry, I want you to come just play something this morning. I want to ask somebody something. I want to try to encourage you. I'm glad there's a hope that's tremendous. You know, we're all walking through here, and it's important how we go through here. I want to go through here encouraging, trying to be a blessing. Me and my wife's been married for over 30 years. There's been a lot of times our hearts been bogged down with trouble. And you know something? By being able to come to a church and come to an altar, we could just relieve our hearts and our tensions and ask God to help us and walk out and make it another week. You say, well, preacher, I've never been like that. Well, it may get that way. Some of you this morning, probably your heart is maybe heavy because you've lost some loved ones. Maybe it's heavy because you got some loved ones. You just don't understand why they're doing what they're doing. Some of you here today, you may have so much trouble boiling up in your heart. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God? Believe also in me. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, if it were not so, he said, I would have told you. Why don't you ask God to help you what you need in your heart this morning? Because I can tell you this, he don't want your heart heavy. He wants you to enjoy the Christian life. He wants you to enjoy Christian fellowship. He wants you to understand that you can trust Him with everything that ever come your way. God can be trusted. Nothing takes Him by surprise. And did you know the only way you're getting to heaven is just what He said? by the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the way, the truth, and the life. Some of you mom and daddies, you're raising babies, your heart's loaded down. You know what you ought to do today? You ought to come gather around this altar and you ought to ask God to help you with your heart trouble. He's the greatest doctor I know. He's the great physician. He's not going to send you down the street for somebody else to look at you. God can fix whatever's wrong. And if you'd come and trust Him with it this morning, He'll help you with it.